Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Callum Stoneman. Tech Talk, of course, our weekly programme looking at all the latest in technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in touch with the show, you're always welcome. As we always say, it's your show, so any comments or tips or contributions that you want to share, techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be having a bit of a chat about some of the announcements from the recent CSUN Assistive Technology Conference in California. Hubert will be trying out the Pocket Casts app, and we'll have news of a recent gaming event that was streamed for a good cause. Hubert Pavalkovich and Jackie Brown are with me this week. Welcome into both of you. Let's see what's grabbing your attention this week. Hubert, we'll start with you.
I'm late to the party with this. I appreciate this, but I've been getting into Reddit over the last few months, because I always thought a lot of people talk about and how you can access different communities, whether it's communities relating to, you know, blind and partially sighted people, or communities relating to about everything there could be. I've been trying to get into Reddit and using it, and I've been using a mixture of the Reddit app itself, which I think is pretty decent when it comes to accessibility. There's also a sort of third-party client for Reddit called Dystopia, which I do have, but I tend to still gravitate towards the Reddit app because it is really interesting. So for those who don't know, as I mentioned, Reddit has different communities on various topics, and people can basically post onto a subreddit, which is basically each of the communities, and they can ask questions, have conversations on various different topics, and kind of exchange opinions and thoughts, tips and tricks, that sort of thing. I don't know if either of you, Callum or Jackie, have used Reddit much before.
I'm on there, and occasionally, like most social medias, to be honest, I'm on there, and occasionally I'll have a bit of a flick through. There are some interesting communities on there. It's a bit kind of, I've never fully understood it, and even now that I'm on there. In fact, the most I interact with Reddit is 9 times out of 10 when you Google something. Like, if you're having a problem with something, someone will have posted about it on Reddit and it'll be at top of Google search results. So, I mean, it's good for that sort of thing, like a forum almost. The way someone described it to me, and I don't think this is fully accurate, but it did help my understanding. It's like, you know, these Facebook groups that we've got. So you've got like, these are kind of blind specific ones, but you've got like AI for the Blind, VI Talk is another one. There's Guide Dogs Coffee Lounge for those who are guide dog users. That's an unofficial group, I should just say. That's not by guide dogs themselves, but it's a little bit like that, where you've got all these different kind of, yeah, different communities that you can post to about particular topics. It's pretty good from what I've seen anyway.
I quite like it. I think it's allowed me to connect with certain communities. The accessibility of it seems pretty good from my experience. I'm not sure if there are any kind of inaccessible functions yet. I'm still learning how Reddit kind of works and kind of the do's and don'ts. But no, I that's one thing I've gotten to. Again, like I said, it's a late-to-the-party edition of My Tech Radar, but no, I quite like it. That's been kind of something I've been using quite a lot this week and exploring kind of notifications and stuff to make sure I can easily follow when new posts are added to various subreddits that I follow. You know, I've joined one for blind and partially sighted people. There's a few kind of interesting personality ones as well. And I've not found probably many others, but there's plenty of time. There seems to be a subreddit for anything from what I've seen when it recommended me things.
Yeah, there really is. It's one of them things that I kind of want to get back into, because all these, I mean, you know, Mastodon is good. That's the social media that I'm probably on the most. But as I said before, you know, it's not, it is more for the techies, that one. It just seems to be the more technical people that are on there. And that's not a criticism, but I do feel that Reddit is a bit more mainstream. there's a lot more people and a lot more communities that you'll find on there. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Jackie, anything caught your eye this week?
Yes, there has been an announcement from Sonos. They have announced two new speakers from the end of March, so you can pre-order them at the moment. One is imaginatively called the Play. I think the way they name these is very confusing, because we've got a series of Plays already, the Play 1s, the Play 3s and the Play 5s, but this one is just called the Play. And it is a portable speaker with a purported battery length of 24 hours. There is also a line in. But the interesting thing about it that I quite like the sound of is that the battery is user replaceable. They actually do sell the batteries separate if you need to buy another one. So I think that's quite good, because I had a Sonos Roam, and a few years ago, it just stopped working, and my son actually went on YouTube and he took the Roam apart. Somebody was doing this and showed him how to replace the battery. So we needed to get the battery out of it to find out what it was called, what the battery make was. He ordered me one online, replaced the battery and put it back in. So I actually do have a working Roam now, but the Play is going to have an official replacement battery, so you're not going to have to go through all that palaver. And then there's another one called the Play SL, which I believe doesn't have a microphone. It's just a sort of a portable speaker. So the Play does obviously have your usual voice activation, your A-Lady. So, yeah, they're coming out at the end of March.
I love my Sonos gear. I know they've had all that controversial stuff with the app not being accessible and all that kind of stuff. We have got past that now. I know for some people that's going to stick. You know, whenever you say Sonos, people go, not sure about that.
No, it's good now.
It's good now. And the sound is unbelievable. I mean, I've got a... it's funny, Jess got me a Sonos One, which again is confusing.
Yeah.
You say what? Because there's a Play One, I think, or... There's something,
yeah,
there's something one. Yeah. So then when you say, what speaker have you got? In fact, I remember having this conversation with someone. They said, what speaker have you got? I said, a Sonos One. They said, yeah, but which Sonos? I'm like, no, it's actually called the Sonos One.
The One, yeah.
But Jess got me that just for my office. And someone had said, you get the bug with Sonos stuff. So she got me that one speaker. I plugged it in, set it up, and we were both like, wow, that is good. That is nice. So then next thing, she got one for her office. And then before we knew it, we had a Sonos Ray soundbar and a bunch of Sonos Ones all around the place. So it's got surround sound. We've got a couple of stereo. We've got a stereo pair somewhere else in the house. And we've got a Roam. We've proper got into the Sonos. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I have as well. We sort of have, and I do like their speakers, and I'm very tempted to buy the Play, as it's called.
Yeah, you're tempting me.
Partly because I just think it's useful to move it around. I mean, I've still got my Roam, and I've got a Roam too that my husband bought me one Christmas to replace the original Roam, because I couldn't get it to work. Yeah, we've invested in it as well. We've got the original Beam as our soundbar. We've had that 6 years, but it is a good system. And, you know, I think the app, that has all settled down. It took me ages to pluck up the courage to go for it. But once I did, you know, I realized that it is actually mainly primarily accessible now. But these new speakers, well, it'll be interesting to see how they're received in the blindness community, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying as well, you can also use Lady A on the Sonoses as well. You don't get features like drop-in and calls. I think that's pretty much all you miss out on, really. You've got almost everything else, I think. You can use Google Assistant on there as well, but they're kind of reluctantly supporting that, I think. It's not very, there's not many features that you can do nowadays on Google Assistant on there, which is a bit of a shame, but Yeah, I think Sonos and Google have had a bit of a falling out.
I
So,
think they have.
yeah.
Yeah. It's not as easy to set up the Google service on the Sonos ones like it is the A Lady. So it can be very fiddly. I've never managed to do it, and I've tried and tried, but it isn't easy. But it can be done, but I think latterly they have had a bit of a falling out. There is some whatever there is going on between them about it. So, but you can definitely, I believe, on the Play, the new Play, because none of the Plays actually had direct A Lady service. They didn't have microphones, but the actual new Play speaker does. So, and it is a battery powered thing as well. So, I just wish they'd make their names a little bit more identifiable, shall we say. It's a
Yeah.
bit confusing.
Yeah. But very nice about that user replaceable battery as well. I like that. Let us know how you get on if you end up getting that. See if you can tempt me even more. There's been some news from InnoSearch. Some customer, I haven't had this, but again, the email has been shared publicly and no one seems to be in a rush to take it down. Some customers have had an email from them. So I think everyone got an email a couple of weeks ago to say that they have made themselves a non-profit organization, because essentially they've been struggling with funding. So they've opened it up for donations to keep the platform running. But there was another email that went out earlier this week that essentially said they are really struggling, funding-wise. And if things carry on the way they are, in terms of their income and their losses, their current runway, as they put it, is less than a month. So they're really struggling to keep the service going, it seemed. It's a real shame, is this one? Because I mean, I really like InnoSearch. I don't buy things that much, to be honest. Certainly not compared to, I don't buy as much as I want to. But I've really loved InnoSearch for. Especially for Christmas presents, it was great. It really helped.
I think as an innovation, it has been really good, and it's allowed other things. They have their marketplace as well, where other businesses can register and sell things too. So it's always sad to see these sorts of things being put in a situation like this, where they are struggling, and the everything needs financial support at the end of the day. That's just the world we live in, and it's always sad to see, because you want to support these things, but also, everyone has their own financial obligations too. I'm hoping they can find a way out somehow, because, we've spoken to Patrick a few times here on R&IB Tech Talk, and it's great to see the passion these people have to make, lives easier for blind and partially sighted people. So, I'm hoping something can be done, because I've not used it that much, just because I don't really shop much at the moment. But in general, it's a good service, and I think if it can run for longer, they can come up with a lot of things. They clearly had a big timeline of things they want to do, and I think it would be interesting to see if they will be able to actually carry on, what else they could do.
I've not used it that much, but what I do like about it is that it means if you search for something and it's on a website that you don't have an account with, it saves you having to create an account for each website that you want to visit. I try to keep my accounts with different websites to a minimum, simply because of scamming and all that sort of stuff. So I think it was good from that point of view that you could, search for things, and if it was on a website that you haven't used before, you haven't created an account with, then you can buy things through there. And I just like that idea. So it is a shame, but as you say, Hubert, it depends on people's pockets, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it wasn't just that for me. It was the fact that you could search for something and you would get different results across several different retailers. Amazon and eBay were the two ones that I seemed to get the most, but I also got things like these are kind of popular stores in the UK. I used to get Currys and John Lewis and loads of different shops and also websites that I'd never heard of. But sometimes they would have better prices. And as you said, you'd have to go through the website yourself and create an account and all that kind of stuff. So it was that for me that it brought all these places together. And some of the things they've managed to do, like that phone call, the thing where you can phone them up and the AI will find products and place orders for you. That's unbelievable. I mean, Amazon haven't. That was the idea of shopping with Lady A. And that's okay for if you just want to quickly reorder something. But actually searching for products, I mean, it's not a good experience on there. But they seem to have really cracked this. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but it really will be a shame if this goes away. Well, another interesting week in the tech world, as always. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
Today we are going to speak to Dominic Hall, someone who has recently done a fundraising game live stream for Eyesight Cornwall. That sounds quite exciting. We'll find out more about that and about Dominic as Dominic Hall, Assistive Technology Advisor from Eyesight Cornwall, joins us now. Dominic, thank you for joining us.
No worries. Thank you, Hubert, for having me, and hello, listeners.
Can you tell us a little bit about your sight condition, please?
Indeed, yep. So I am registered severely sight impaired. I have been since I was 3 years old when a brain tumour behind my optic nerve cluster basically took out my right eye completely and damaged my left eye, leaving me with 10% vision in my left eye. It was pretty stable for a good portion until I was 35. Then when I was 35, the retina in my good eye, my left eye, took out the remaining 10%. It just detached over a weekend and, you know, they did a couple of surgeries to try and save it, but sadly they couldn't. Currently, I pretty much have no vision in my right eye at all and only very, very slight light perception in the left on a good day.
So when it comes to adapting to life with sight loss, how did you find adapting to it? What did you find helped you the most to adapt to doing things slightly differently?
So I've been through two variants of sight loss. I've been through a variant when I, you know, after the brain tumor where I could still see enough to read with a high strength magnifier. I could walk around town and use public transport without a problem. You know, I had enough vision for that. But then when the retina went, it was, you know, into complete chaos. Say after that, it was basic bump-ons on microwaves and, you know, ovens and things like that. I use a computer now with a screen reader, NVDA and Zoom Text and Supernova, to name a few, to, you know, do my job. I rely on AI, you know, text-to-speech devices, things like that. So those are probably the most useful thing currently.
I want to now dive into your interest in gaming. Have you always been interested in gaming, or, you know, is that something you've been interested since you've kind of had sight issues? And how did your interest in gaming, you know, change and adapt with your sight loss?
So I've always been a gamer ever since I was a young boy. Since about 5 years old, my first gaming console was a Sega Master System. And I pretty much grew up with gaming from there, really. Avid gamer, I used to play online with friends and things like that. But when I lost the remaining portion of my sight, I thought that was it. It's, you know, game over, if you'll excuse the pun. But, you know, thankfully, there are, you know, we're getting into an age now where people who make games, you know, some of the AAA companies have made games with accessibility options and, you know, with the, you know, with options such as advanced screen readers that read out all the context in a video game and, you know, audible cues over visual cues, you know, they've really given me my hobby back. So, you know, it's just to kind of show you that, you know, if you lose your sight and you think it's game over and, you know, you think your favorite hobby is gone, there are ways around it.
Now then, let's talk this live stream you did for Eyesight Cornwall. It sounds very exciting. So before we talk about the details of the stream itself, can you tell me a little bit about how did this idea come about?
So it came about originally before I lost my remaining portion of vision, where myself and a colleague thought it would be a good idea just to kind of do a little gaming for good stream where we could highlight the you know, good decisions in gaming for people with sight loss, you know, or for people with low vision at the time. And it kind of grew from there, really. And then obviously when I lost my sight and thought it was the end, you know, we figured, well, you know, there must be other video game enthusiasts with sight loss out there. You know, let's try and spread the word about it and, you know, try and help out the charity in the process.
For this game stream, can you tell us which game you selected for your live stream and why you've picked that particular game?
Indeed. So we selected Mortal Kombat 1 on the PlayStation 5. The reason we selected that one is it's currently the most accessible fighting game on any platform, be it PlayStation 5, Xbox, PC, that kind of thing. There isn't really any other fighting game that really matches the level of detail and accessibility options that you know, that are in that game. And, you know, it was a nice, good one to show off in terms of, you know, what accessibility options they've made. I mean, we had a couple of other choices, but that was also the first one where we kind of got really, really good feedback on TikTok for. So that was the first video after losing my sight and discovering accessible gaming that we put up on TikTok to kind of highlight, you know, gaming is still possible if you've got no sight. So, you know, when that exploded on the TikTok, we got over, I think it was 2,500,000 views over like the course of a couple of days. So that's why we chose that one.
For listeners who may not be aware of the accessibility of Mortal Kombat, can you tell us, you know, what makes the game accessible? What accessibility features it has?
For the, when you boot up the game, if you've got your native screen reader on your console, be it PlayStation or Xbox, the menus on the game will be read out to you entirely, including character select screen, any settings you wish to change. The cutscenes are audio described in the full, in a really, really good professional manner that you can follow along with any story cutscenes or, you know, setup cutscenes, that kind of thing. But the big thing is for the amount of accessibility options in the actual fighting game itself. So when you actually are doing the fighting, you basically start off with a high-pitched ticking noise if you're wearing a headphone or if you've got the TV speakers. And this ticking noise will get progressively more frequent the closer you are to your opponent. So if you're right up close to your opponent, the ticking will be very, very frequent. Whereas if you move further away from your opponent, the ticking will slow down. This, in conjunction with 3D audio, kind of lets you know where you are in the game in relation to any, you know, any opponent you're fighting. There are also plenty of other sounds and audible cues for whether you're doing a specific move to your opponent or if you're being hit by a specific move from your opponent to kind of give you an idea of, you know, when to dodge and, you know, which block to employ, kind of thing like that. Move lists and, you know, all the pause menus in the game are completely, you know, supported by screen reader support as well. So learning a character's moves is, you know, super easy as well. You just listen to the screen reader tell you what to, what moves you need, you know, you can use.
What sort of challenges did you come across during the live stream itself, accessibility challenges in particular, and how did you go about solving them?
So the biggest challenge we came across was, obviously I'd played the game before at home with just myself. I do it for a 3D PlayStation Pulse Elite headset, which has 3D surround sound. The biggest challenge we had on the night was we'd never done it where the audio from the game, both the game, my colleague who was reading out all the questions and messages we were getting on the streams and the screen reader as well, all running through the same, my, you know, headset at once. So the biggest challenge was basically making sure that I could hear all that and respond to it in an equal fashion. So sometimes it got a bit tricky when, you know, you're listening for trying to do a particular fight through the audio cues and you're getting the noise as well through the chat. But we made it work, and it wasn't too bad.
Based on the success of the game stream you've had for Mortal Kombat, you know, even this early to tell, but are you planning to do future similar streams like that?
We're hoping to, indeed, yep. I haven't got any dates set in stone at the minute, but the best place to keep an eye on would be our social media or our website, as that will, you know, update as to when we have any future plans for it.
let you mention them in a minute to those listening. But another question for you, you know, if there's one game you would love to stream next, what would it be? What sort of games are you looking at potentially?
So as of the minute, there's only a handful of games that support the accessibility requirements for someone of my sight loss level, about six in total. So whether, you know, we'd probably listen to public feedback or whether they want to continue with the story mode of Mortal Kombat, or, you know, I show up a different one of those games and, you know, point out its accessibility features and things like that.
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to in the gaming world this year in terms of new games that you're particularly excited about?
So nothing in particular has been announced yet to the level of accessibility. I'm always keeping an ear out on, you know, what is future coming in the minute. But the problem is they're it's only at the beginning of its kind of realization that game developers are having, you know, to include accessibility. So it's, you know, slow releases at the minute and nothing on the horizon for 2026 as of yet.
And if people would like to find out more about your streams or donate or in general get more information, you know, where can you direct them? Where can you point our listeners?
So they can go to www.eyesightcornwall.org.uk for information on any upcoming streams or a link to some of our past streams. It's also a good place to donate if you can to help out the charity as well. You can also go to our Just Giving page, which is under Eyesight Cornwall as well. And our social media, which is on Facebook, Meta, as Eyesight Cornwall as well.
Fantastic. And a last question for you, Dominic. You know, for people who may be new to sight loss and listening to you and feel quite inspired, you know, what would be your message to people who, you know, maybe are at the other end of the scale and still, you know, not quite sure where to start regarding adapting to life with sight loss? What would you say to them?
So my biggest suggestion would be that, you know, it's a big change. It can be extremely daunting when you lose your sight. So take it at your own pace. You know, it will take time for you to get back up to, you know, the confidence that you had before losing your sight. But it can happen and you can still do all the things that you enjoy. You know, it just requires a different approach to these things.
Fantastic. Dominic Hall, Assistive Technology Advisor for Eyesight Cornwall. Many thanks for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Well, many thanks for having me, Hubert, and thank you to all your listeners.
This is Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
So as we're recording this, the CSUN conference in California is just about wrapping up. So there may be more that we haven't got to yet, but let's just see what we've got so far. Jackie, I have a feeling I know what you're going to be excited about. I've seen some things from Orbit.
Orbit Research have announced some new Braille displays. Now, when they will be coming out is anyone's guess, because they do tend to advertise these well in advance of their release. In the UK, I can confirm that both Graham Longley of Aspire Consultancy and Steve Nutt of Computer Room Services, they are Orbit dealers, so they will probably be getting these in. They are called the Extra and the Flow, and I believe that they're coming in 20 and 40 cell flavors. I think one of them has no keyboard as such. It is just a dedicated Braille display that you can pair with your phone or your PC literally to read, you know, your output of Braille. The interesting thing about them, though, is that they are coming with piezoelectric Braille cells. Now, Orbit has been renowned for their Braille signage, if you like to call them that way. And I think that they did have a lot of problems. People found them very unreliable, and they have decided to go with piezoelectric cells in these new devices, the Extra and the Flow. We don't have that much detail about them yet, but that's what's on the table from Orbit. And I think one of the reasons they've gone for piezoelectric cells is because a lot of people prefer those. They're traditional, like the human wear and the HIMS and the Handytech. All those kind of cells are all piezoelectric. And I think that Orbit has decided to capitalize on the fact that human wear and all these other companies sell them and people go to them, and therefore they don't buy Orbit products, and they just go elsewhere. So I think maybe that's possibly why they have gone with piezoelectric cells. And also the Optima, which is another Braille product, which is an all singing, all dancing product, I believe. So what we've been told so far is that it's hoping for release next year. And that is going to have the choice of whether you want a piezoelectric cells or Braille signage cells. And I know that Orbit Research are involved in that. So we'll just have to wait and see. There's a lot happening with Orbit at the moment, but definitely the Extra and the Flow have both been demonstrated at CSUN. And we'll wait and see what they're like, what the pricing is. We don't know about the pricing yet. They haven't given it. So it would suggest to me that probably Site Village or thereafter will know a bit more.
I'm quite interested in, I like the one where it's just a display.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, I mean, that's going to make it really portable, I imagine. Even if you get, say, I mean, we don't know, do we know how many cells this is coming in? This.
I think it's going to be a 20.
20, yeah. So
that, from what I can gather.
That's going to be really nice and portable, that. Even if they did, we don't know if they are, but even if they did a 40 cell version, if there's no keyboard, like no input, that's going to be tiny, surely.
See, I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And it's apparently made, you know, it's got an aluminium casing, so it's quite sturdy, apparently. But as I say, it's all very new from CSUN at the moment. We're just getting sort of little press releases. That's all we know.
The Optima is definitely an interesting one. That's the Windows laptop, isn't it, with a Braille display built in. That's going to have some competition now with this Braille Note Evolve as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting one. And obviously the Braille Sense 7 as well. Kind of fits into a bit of a different category, if you ask me, without running Android. But
indeed,
still, interesting times for these note takers. We tend to find this, don't we, that it goes a little bit quiet on the Braille front for a little bit. I mean, we've had all this about multi-line, but in terms of note takers, there's not really been a huge amount, and then there's kind of three coming along at once. Yeah, it's like buses. Hubert, anything from you?
Speaking of the Evolve, actually, there's been an announcement which I quite liked. I've seen this, before this recording, I was reading more about this. So this is from HumanWare, who are obviously behind the Braille Note Evolve. And they are offering, they collaborated with Vispero on this, who are behind, obviously, Jaws. Each Evolve will have 6 months free of Jaws as a subscription, which I saw and I thought this is a brilliant collaboration. And I think, you know, for the money you invest into a device like the Evolve, I think that would really encourage quite a lot of people. I think it's a great partnership that they've gone into, and also they will be, you know, the main distributors of Jaws on Braille Note devices as well. So yeah, it's a big collaboration between two, I'd say, you know, two of many powerhouses in, you know, that sort of specialist technology industry.
I was interested in the wording, though. I read that press release email that HumanWare sent out, and I noticed, because when I started reading it, I thought, oh, you know, this is interesting. 6 months free subscription of Jaws. And then I saw ongoing, you know, those that want to keep the Jaws subscription going, preferable, I think was the word that they used. It's going to be interesting to see if anybody takes that up, what happens after that 6 months. Does it go back to the full-blown kind of subscription that everybody's been talking about this year with the expense and everything going up. So that is going to be interesting to see how Humanware and Vispero are going to work with that. Because if you've already got a JAWS license, you're not really going to want to buy another one just to use on the Evolve. So I'm wondering how they're going to work that out.
I had the same question, actually. I thought, hang on, what happens after the 6 months? How's that going to be handled?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it does come with... I'm surprised at this, actually. Well, yeah, in a way, I'm surprised. In a way, I'm not. Because it does come with NVDA as well, apparently. It is going to come with NVDA pre-installed. And this is a... Again, this is a Windows computer, so if you want to use Narrator even, or if you wanted to put Supernova on from Dolphin, or the Dolphin screen reader, you could do that. So you're not tied into JAWS, but my immediate thought with that was, I wonder if this could be helpful in terms of if we get this in the UK, which I really hope we do, because as we know, Vispero's pricing or subscription models kind of differ between countries. But if we get this in the UK, my immediate thought there was, if you get this for the workplace, I mean, access to work, we all know what a mess access to work is in at the minute in terms of delays and funding and stuff. If you manage to get this, but then it's taken a while to get your JAWS funding, hopefully that gives you a little bit of a buffer as well. That could be useful in that sense.
It is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they go. This has only just dropped, this email, so it's something that's come out of CSUN. It doesn't surprise me in a way, but on the other hand, I think you need to be careful if anybody already has a JAWS license, not to get sucked into another one after 6 months. It might be that you could then transfer your own license to it. I don't know how they're going to work with it. Apparently, Humanware, as you say, Hubert, they're going to be covering the whole thing globally with JAWS. So I think it will include the UK, because to be fair to Humanware, they always release worldwide. They tend not to, concentrate on one particular part of the market. I think most of their products, when they release them to everybody. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens with this one. But I just would urge a note of caution.
I think it's all about getting the information before you sign up to anything like that. It's making sure you have all the information you want to know and you need to make sure you can make the most informed decision, especially when that amount of money is concerned.
So there's been some news from Be My Eyes as well. Of course there has. They seem to be always up to things. Tighter integrations with the Meta glasses, which I think a lot of us are going to be interested in. No news on Be My AI, because that's what I first thought when I read this. I thought, oh, is Be My AI coming? No, it's not, or at least not yet. But what they have announced is being able to call companies on the service directory with voice commands. So you could say, hey Meta, call Be My Eyes with Microsoft, or Be My Eyes with Google, and it will call the dedicated Google team. So rather than having to go into the service directory on your phone and then make that call and either use your phone or try and switch it to the glasses, which you can do, but it's a bit of a clunky experience. You can just do that via voice command. And they've also announced groups support. Little known feature of Be My Eyes, I think. This one seems to have gone a little bit under the radar, but you can create private groups. So rather than just calling any volunteer, say you've got a bunch of people who you trust, there's certain tasks where you'd like help from someone you know. So maybe it's something kind of personal, or if it's something at work where it would make more sense for your work colleagues to answer, then you can set up a group of people who you know and you trust, and they accept to be in that group. And then you call the group and it will just go out to those people, and then whoever's free can answer. And that is now going to be available on the glasses as well. So I assume you would say, Be My Eyes with, and then whatever you called the group, and it will call that group as well again. So just making all those features a bit easier to access. So no news on when that's coming yet, I don't think, but I'm looking forward to that.
I think it's brilliant. I think, I just imagine we were talking about this when they announced their partnerships with, I believe it was Tesco's at the time. And I just imagine wearing my glasses and going for a grocery shop and kind of being able to use them, use my glasses, phone someone from Tesco's using Beat My Eyes, the service directory, and be able to kind of do my grocery shopping in a bit of an easier fashion, but just walking and using my hands to obviously find the products on the shelves and stuff. I think that to me is the next step. It's a logical next step to go with this. And I'm really glad to see that. The groups I have not really used myself, but, you know, I can understand why that feature is appealing, especially for people who, you know, like I say, may not be comfortable phoning volunteers who they don't know for certain things they want help with. I think having that ability as well on the glasses just makes the solution so much better.
Well, I had one set up when my son was first born. I never ended up actually using it, to be honest, because Jess was around most of the time. But I thought, if I'm doing something, and I don't really know what I had in mind, to be honest, but I thought, if I need help with something with him, say I'm trying to dress him or I'm trying to bath him or something, I don't really want to call a random person when I'm in that position. So I did have one set up with a few family members, just in case I needed it and I could get them, and it didn't really matter. It didn't matter what state we were both in, let's say that. You know, so it is good. It is really good. I do like that. And you said there the announcement with Tesco. That was always my kind of thing when it came to these shopping stores officially. Like, not to put a downer on the announcement in the slightest, but I always used to think, okay, but if I've got my phone, and I suppose the answer to this is one of those straps that you can, you know, strap your phone to yourself, but I don't have one of those. So I was thinking, well, that's great, but how would I actually do it? You know, one hand with my cane, one hand with my phone held out, and then trying to pick products up and carry my basket or my bags or whatever. So, do you know what? This being on the glasses might actually tempt me to... I haven't been to a proper shop in years. I always just do it online. But I think I've said this before. You try and... if you just need a bottle of milk, you try getting that online with your service fee and your small order fee and bag fee and all that. You're paying about a tenner for a bottle of milk. You know, bottle itself might only cost like a pound. So, I mean, yeah, this might actually tempt me to use things like that, because being on the glasses is just going to be so much easier. So again, no news on when that is coming, but it should be coming sometime soon, hopefully. And if there's anything that's caught your eye, as I said before, or if you've managed to get hands-on with any of these products, definitely let us know. It's very interesting. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
It's time to talk podcast apps on RNIB Connect Radio here on Tech Talk. So a few months ago, I've done a demo of a podcast app called Castro, which I really enjoyed because it offered me a few good features, including be able to only queue the episodes of podcasts I was actually interested in, and only they would get downloaded. It was quite a simple interface as well. So really quite enjoyable. But the main reason I kind of discovered Castro is because the app I discovered beforehand, called Pocket Casts, was mainly accessible. But the part that wasn't accessible was the playback effects screen, which is where you can adjust things such as playback speed and other effects such as trimming silence and things like that. That wasn't overly that accessible. You kind of had to use screen recognition. And even then, whether it worked was quite questionable, really. But I thought, why not? I'll download it again and see if these issues have been fixed. And, well, lo and behold, they have. And I've also discovered that, as well as Castro, Pocket Casts does allow you to archive the episodes that you get notified about right from the notification, which means they won't sit there until you delete them because you actually aren't that interested in listening to them. So what we're going to do today is have a little look at Pocket Casts, and I'll show you what it's like, and including one of my favorite features. You'll be surprised to hear: stats.
Podcasts tab, 1 of 5.
So we are in the Podcasts tab. I'll show you here first what you can expect.
Create new folder button.
So this is the folders feature. Really useful. You can group podcasts into folders of your own, or you can actually let Downcast create default folders for you that the app thinks would work, which I quite like, although I don't use, because I have an idea of what folder structure I'd like for my podcasts, and I'd rather be able to do it myself. However, if you're not interested in that and you want to see what Pocket Casts can create for you, that's quite useful.
Podcasts. Heading. More actions. Button.
So you've got your podcasts.
Search podcasts or add RSS URL.
This is where you can search for a podcast to subscribe to or add an RSS URL to find one. I never really do it that way. I just type in the name, which is probably the easiest.
News folder. Button.
So I've got here my news folder.
Sports folder. Button.
My kind of sports folder. Yes, surprising.
Comedy folder. Button.
Comedy folder. So anything funny, really, I put in there.
Tech news folder. Button.
Tech news. Self-explanatory ones there.
Conspiracy theories. Button. True crime folder. Button.
There's a true crime folder. A big thing for me is true crime podcasts at the moment.
Scary stories folder. Button.
There's a scary stories folder. I'm a bit of a horror fan of true horror stories and, well, paranormal horror stories as well.
The rest is entertainment. Tech resources folder. Button.
There's a tech resources folder. This is where I store podcasts that put out demos. So something like... the Freedom Scientific training materials where you can learn how to do different things with JAWS or other podcasters that do demos or reviews of products, which is really, really useful. So I thought keeping them in that folder will make things just a little bit easier.
Selected. Podcasts. Tab. 1 of 5.
So that's the podcasts tab.
Playlists. Tab. 2 of 5.
Playlists. Now, this is really good. So here you can actually have smart playlists and you can filter them by quite a lot of different criteria. We'll take a look here.
Playlists. Heading.
So we are in the playlist section.
New playlist. Button.
So you can make a new playlist. Now you can make a basic playlist, but I think what really allows you to get the most out of Pocket Casts is a smart playlist where you can actually... filter the playlist by specific criteria such as duration, such as there's a lot of things here. You can look at episode availability, you can look at how many episodes to keep in each. There's a lot of things you can adjust here. I'm not going to list them all, but you can be very picky with your smart playlists to get the right playlist for you.
Sports news. Smart playlist, 19 episodes.
So there's my sports playlist, which includes my sports podcast. And for each of the podcasts, I've changed the settings as to how many episodes of each podcast should be kept. Because with kind of sports news, some of them go out of date really quickly, or you end up seeing the news elsewhere. So most of the episodes in this playlist don't actually sit there for that long.
News. Smart playlist, 8 episodes.
Same goes for this playlist as well. Few less podcasts in this one, but yes, the availability certainly varies here.
Quick bites. Smart playlist, 4,328 episodes.
Now granted.
Actions available.
That playlist is huge. This is basically a playlist that has podcast episodes which are 30 minutes or under, because often I like a quick bite podcast to listen to for like 15 minutes or so. So this playlist is exactly for that. And I listen to them at 2.4 speed. So most of these podcasts will be about under 15 minutes long, realistically.
New releases. Smart playlist. 68 episodes. Actions available.
So this playlist has actually been created by Pocket Cast itself. And this one is new releases where it will keep the most recent episodes from the last 2 weeks. Again, quite useful. If you want to, pick out something recent to listen to.
In progress. Smart playlist. 0 episodes.
And here, if you want to listen to episodes you haven't finished, this is another playlist that is quite useful. If you listen to a few episodes of different podcasts and you want to kind of go back to them, it's not my way of doing it, but if you do like doing it that way, then this is the playlist that will help you with that.
Discover. Tab. 3 of 5.
Discover, fairly self-explanatory. This is where you can browse podcasts, and the good thing here is it does curated suggestions from the Pocket Casts people, but also recommendations based on podcasts you follow, which is quite good. So I quite like the recommendations that you get. We'll swipe past that.
Up next, tab 4 of 5.
Your up next queue, which is quite a versatile queue. You can do a lot to it. You can add and remove episodes in the queue. You can move them to top and bottom. And that queue stays there pretty much all the time. So you can always have that queue going. So if you don't want to use the playlists, but you just want to use the up next feature and queue up the episodes you want every time, and just add them to an ever-expanding queue, you can do that, which is kind of what Castro was, where you had a queue and you can queue up as many episodes as you wanted and then later clear them if you needed to. But that's basically that equivalent. So it is Castro-ish, that particular feature in Pocket Cast, which I quite like.
Profile tab, 5 of 5.
Now we will show you what's going on in profile. I quite like this tab for a few things.
Selected profile, Pocket Casts.
So there's, as you heard that little sound, there's a little pop-up that comes up where you can gift someone 2 months of Pocket Casts Gold, which is a subscription that I have. And I have it because it allows me to do folders and playlists and certain things like that. You don't have to have the subscription naturally. It more depends as to what features matter to you. So in settings, you can read as to what features Pocket Cast Gold gives you. And you can go, well, actually, I don't want them. I don't need them. I'm happy with them. For me, I quite like them, so I don't mind paying. And because you listen to podcasts multiple times a month, I can also justify that. But let's show you what's here.
Pocket Cast settings button.
So you've got a lot of settings there, and you can really customize everything here. You know, you customize the usual download section. You can customize settings for each podcast as well as podcast defaults too. So very customizable, which I really like. You can really make it your own.
Profile avatar heading image.
You can have your profile avatar. I personally can't remember if I even set one, but you can do if you want to.
Account button heading.
You can look at your account.
30 podcasts heading.
Tells you the podcasts.
6 hours listened heading.
6 hours listened.
4 hours saved heading.
We'll look at that in a minute.
Stats.
So it does have stats. My favorite thing in a podcast app. For me, stats is quite essential because I love looking at my listening stats and analyzing them. For me, I don't know. I just like it. It's always been my thing, so I will look at that.
Downloads.
You can look at your downloads.
Files.
Files.
Starred.
Starred episodes. So if you, I've starred, for example, a demo of the Zoom Podtrack P4 Next, for example, to kind of refer to it when I got mine, this is when I found it.
Bookmarks.
You can have bookmarks in episodes. Again, not a feature I use that much, but you can do.
Listening history.
You can look at your listening history as well.
Help and feedback.
The usual help and feedback.
Last refresh. 7 minutes ago.
And last refresh.
Refresh now. Button.
You can refresh your stats.
Gift 2 months of Pocket Casts Plus. Podcasts. Tab.
So that's that. I'm just going to quickly show you the stats.
Stats. Pocket Cast. Profile. Back button.
So the stats thing, it does it in a quite funny way, as you're about to hear.
Stats. Heading. You've listened for 6 hours, 3 minutes. During which time 36,311,666,666 emails were sent, envelope sealed with heart.
There you go. Nice random bit of trivia.
Time saved by skipping 4 minutes 30 seconds.
So here you actually get told how much time you've saved by using specific time-saving features. So skipping, and this could be skipping chapters or just skipping using the kind of fast forward and rewind buttons. If you kind of want any specific thing in a podcast episode.
Variable speed, 3 hours 48 minutes.
Unsurprisingly, this is quite high because my speed of my podcast listening varies, i.e. mainly at 2.4 at the moment, so quite a lot of time is saved.
Trim silence, 46 minutes.
Trim silence. Now, this feature is quite useful, but you don't really notice it when it actually is happening because what it does is trims excessive silence between speech. In podcasts, and a lot of that silence is tiny in general as it is, but what this app will cleverly do is trim that out, so you will not notice it, but you will be saving time.
Auto skipping, 0 seconds.
There is auto skipping where you can actually set up to skip an outro and an intro of a podcast. I like that feature, but I think certain outros and intros aren't always the same length, so you could, but if you set defaults to skip, I think sometimes you might actually accidentally miss a bit of a podcast if the intro is longer or shorter than the expected kind of duration.
Total, 4 hours 39 minutes.
That's how much I saved in total.
Podcasts, tab.
So that's my stats. Really good. I really like that one. Regarding the Pocket Casts Gold subscription, my one is £39.99 a year that I pay. So technically, not a big outlay for me. Obviously, everyone is different, so it depends, A, what you can afford, and B, whether you'll actually take advantage of the features in the paid subscription. A lot of them I do use, i.e. folders and a few other things. So it's up to you whether you want to pay it, but I quite like it. And as long as it remains to be accessible, I will probably use that instead of Castro. But, you know, there are thousands of podcast apps out there. I can name you quite a lot, and they all do different things. And it really all depends which one works for you based on what you want from a podcast app. You know, you can use the Apple's default one. You can use Overcast, Castro, Anytime, a podcast player, or Pocket Casts, or 5,000 others. So it all depends really what you're looking for. But this, hopefully, this has given you another little idea to look at. And for me, like I said, it does stats, so you can't go wrong with that. But yeah, what are your thoughts? What podcasts app do you use, and why? What has your favourite podcasts app got that keeps you using it? Let us know. The usual email address, of course, techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
And that is us done for another week. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. If you've got any comments or questions, is there anything we can help you out with? Is there anything in particular that you're excited about from CSUN? Let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll be back with you same time, same place next week. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavelkovich, and Jackie Brown, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
See you next week.